Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen. Ray producing and engineering our show on this President's Day, the day that we honor America's presidents. Hope you had a lovely Valentine's Day. Boy, it was a beautiful day. It is Monday, February 15th, 2016. We're into the seventh week of the new year already. Halfway through February, we are streaming our show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. So if you're not by a radio, you can stream us. But if you are by a radio, we are on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We're going to begin the show, as we do each Monday afternoon, with the Monday Political Face-Off. Certainly no shortage of items to talk about today, followed at 12:30 by our monthly scam alert brought to us by the Better Business Bureau. Then we'll close out the show with Dr. Mark Sykes of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute. We'll talk about, well, I guess Einstein was right after all. On that whole gravitational wave deal, we'll have Dr. Sykes explain it to us and put it in language that we all can understand. The Buckmaster Show live line is open for you, 790-2040, for your calls, questions, comments, and suggestions. Also, we invite you to become a friend of our show on Facebook. In addition, we're on Twitter at Buckmaster Show, and you can send us questions to Facebook or to Twitter, for that matter. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. And, of course, on Facebook. John Munger is here. Mr. Munger, well-known Tucson attorney, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents, 2010 Republican candidate for Arizona governor. Vince Robigo is here, also a well-known attorney in town, longtime Democrat party activist and former Arizona Attorney General candidate, also in 2010. He's head of the Hispanic Caucus for the Democratic Party of Pima County. Gentlemen, how are you today?
Great. Good to see you, Bill.
Good to see you, Bill.
Well, the big news, of course, Justice Scalia passing away, apparently in his sleep. He was visiting an exclusive ranch in West Texas and passed away. This opens, well, how do we put this, John Munger? It opens all sorts of can of worms, doesn't it?
Well, it does. Of course, the president has an absolute right to nominate a candidate. The Senate, the U.S. Senate has the right to advise and consent or not. And so it's going to be interesting to see who the president puts forward. He's going to do that, I understand, in the next week or two. And then it's going to be interesting to see, first finding out who that is and then seeing what the Senate does. I suspect, unless the president decides to put somebody forward who's acceptable to all parties, I don't expect to see the U.S. Senate confirm anybody right off the top, but we'll see what happens.
Vince, this is really, well, we'll talk about that. There's a direct impact to Arizona, but first, some of your thoughts about, do you think that the president should put someone, a name forward, rather quickly?
Well, first, before answering that, I'd like to pay my respects to Justice Scalia. And the reality is he was a dedicated public servant. He you know, fiercely fought for his views and served admirably in his role. I did not agree with many of his judicial decisions and much of his philosophy. So I had certainly that kind of a philosophical disagreement with him. But you cannot take away from him his long career as a jurist. And I think that, you know, before we even get into all the politics of all this, I think it's important for whatever political party you are, whatever stripes you know, you have, mm-hmm. In terms of philosophy, that to take a moment to recognize someone who was is obviously going to be a historical figure in American history, and to recognize that even members of the court They may fiercely disagree on issues, but they can be also civil and outside of those legal battles and disagreements. They can have friendships. He was a close friend, for example, with Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
They're like best friends.
Yeah, and so we need to take a moment to step back, I believe, when things like this happen in our society, and have a moment of civility and respect that as well.
And thank you for saying that, because John and Vince, once the news hit in this era of instantaneous news and 24-hour news cycles and social media, very few people were talking about paying their respects.
Well, that's right, and I agree with everything Vince has said. And, you know, as an attorney, and I know Vince will agree with me on this, people often wonder why attorneys fight so hard for their clients but then go out and have a beer afterwards. And the answer to it is that courtesy, civility, is the grease that makes a great democracy work. Without courtesy and civility, we can't even discuss things. Vince and I walk out of here every day having fought our battles in here politically, and we walk out every day and slap each other on the back and shake hands
true.
And hope
That's
each
true.
Other has a good week. And,
yep.
and people need to understand that courtesy is the grease that makes the great democracy work and makes our institutions work. And I think there was no better example of that kind of courtesy than between Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Justice Scalia. So a lesson for all of us.
Definitely a lesson. And a little known story also broke over the weekend. It was talking about this. One of President Obama's former advisors, I think it was Axelrod, was talking about how when it came time for President Obama to, I think it was Justice, was it Souter that retired? And the time was coming to replace him. And that at a dinner event that Justice Scalia was at the same table with David, I think it was David Axelrod, and had leaned over and basically said, I hope he appoints, because he's certainly not going to appoint a conservative. So I'm paraphrasing, but I hope he appoints someone smart and talented. And then apparently the conversation went a little deeper, and Justice Scalia said, to put a finer point on this, I hope he appoints Elena Kagan. And it was very fascinating, because obviously she's on the other side of the aisle, but it was someone that Justice Scalia respected, someone who had gone to the same law school, taught also, I think, at the University of Chicago, obviously years different, but they were also friends, very different philosophically, on opposite sides of issues. But this kind of speaks to what John is talking about, and you can fiercely disagree with your opponents, but there should also be civility and respect when you step back away from that.
I think it gives people a good insight into the legal profession, frankly, at large, what attorneys face. We recognize the difference in opinions in the Supreme Court judges. Well, local judges have the same issues. And when you go to court as an attorney, and I know Vince will agree with this, it should be all very clear what you're going to get. It never is. And because you've got the same, not necessarily political issues, but different ways, legitimate ways of looking at issues, you hope the judge adopts your position, and you make, everybody makes cogent arguments, but you're never sure.
Well, all right. So
back to your question.
Yes.
So back to your question. Yeah. Yes. The answer to the question, which was, should the president immediately nominate someone? I think John led off with this.
That
absolutely.
Was in a week or two.
That's his obligation under the Constitution, to nominate someone, and to nominate obviously a qualified individual that is going to pass muster for someone who has both the legal experience, the background, the temperament, the integrity to serve in a lifetime appointment, as these federal judicial appointments are lifetime appointments. And so absolutely, he's going to, I think he's already come out, I believe, and said that he would in due time make that appointment or nomination, excuse me. There's a three-part process under the appointments clause. You know, the president has an absolute unfettered right to make the nomination, and then the Senate gives advice and consent or rejection. Which has happened, of course, in the past on occasion, not very frequently, but there are a few examples of that. And then, of course, the final duties of the president after the advice and the consent of the Senate is to make that appointment of that official.
Should they wait? Republicans are saying that they would like to see a waiting period, and that period would extend till really the next president.
Well, my understanding is that there has not been an election year appointment during an election year for a lame duck president for 80 years.
That's what I understand.
Historically, presidents have waited. I don't dispute Barack Obama has an absolute right to nominate. The question is whether he will. Of course, as a conservative myself, I'd like him to follow the precedent of the last 80 years and not try to appoint a nominee or nominate somebody in the next during this year because this is his lame duck year. But he probably will. He says he's going to. The question is then what should the Senate do? The Senate really has a couple of choices, and there's a very interesting issue coming up. Number one, whether they I don't even think they're going to meet regarding his nomination because they're going to take the position that that's really an election decision. Who should make the next appointment should go to whoever the next president is. But there's also the issue that comes up that I think is the most interesting issue here, and that's that the Senate adjourns and ends on January 3rd. The president stays in office till the 20th of January.
Right.
So theoretically, people are saying, well, the Senate would adjourn on January 3rd, and the president would have a period of time until the 20th to nominate. I think what you're going to find happen is remember that, yes, the current Senate ends on January 3rd, but the new Senate is sworn in on January 3rd. So there will be a Senate instantaneously after the current Senate goes.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question is, are the Republicans going to keep the new Senate in recess until the 20th of January? They'll have a new Senate on January 3rd and then recess until January 20th. Or are they going to immediately put the new Senate to work so that the president cannot make a recess appointment? I suspect that they will do the latter.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. It's the Monday Political Face-Off. John Munger and Vince Robago. We will be right back. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year RTA plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region safer and more accessible. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We bring you national stories ignored by the mainstream media. Sources include the Washington Times News Service, Personal Liberty Digest, the National Center for Policy Analysis, the Washington Free Beacon, and the Heartland Institute. It is national news coverage from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and moesgallery.com. I was over visiting with Moe on Saturday. He's very pleased with the Monday Political Face-Off, which is great to hear. And he's very busy, which is great. And they do such a great job over there, so check it out. Really can take care of all of your framing needs. We're talking about the untimely death of Justice Scalia at age 79. Apparently, the cause of death was a heart attack while he was sleeping and was at a weekend outing in Texas. Now, this is very interesting, Vince Robigo and John Munger. There are six all-important cases that now some of the media is saying pretty much have been decided, and one of them will be the Arizona redistricting suit. And when I say decided, if it's a 4-4 decision of the high court, it kicks back to the lower court.
Yeah, 4-4 decision is not a positive decision. It's you don't have a majority.
It's a tie.
So a tie is not a majority. So what happens in that situation is the previous circuit district, which is the court immediately lower from the Supreme Court, whatever circuit, and there are a number of circuits around the country, whatever circuit decided that case, their decision stands because the U.S. Supreme Court isn't overturning that decision. And that would just leave it for the Supreme Court to decide that issue if it was brought before it some other day.
Correct. And so the issue, though, is for example, you have the Arizona redistricting case, and if that ruling doesn't have a ninth justice that is of the view that people are prognosticating that Scalia would have decided, let's say, on the favor of changing those rules. Brought by the Republican
here in Arizona.
Then it would end up in that 4-4 tie, and that their challenge would fail, essentially. So that's one of the examples. There are others. There's some that could cut the other way, for example, on President Obama's immigration executive actions. And so, for example, to the extent that the Texas federal courts stopped that from going into play.
There's a teachers union, correct, public sector,
which would go in favor of the unions and the free speech in terms of how they collect dues.
There's an abortion case out of Texas.
So the issue, I think, that's bigger to me that when you start looking at this is that we do need to have a full court acting. I take issue with what the pundits have been saying and certainly the Republican GOP nominees.
About 80 years
that there's this tradition and there's this precedent that lame, quote-unquote, lame duck president hasn't nominated. First of all, that's just bunk. Over the course of our entire history of the United States, and I did a lot of research this morning on this, about 15% of nominations have occurred in the president's last year.
Really?
Over our entire history as a country.
Those are nominations, not consent.
And there were some that were withdrawn, there were some that were voted down. And so the question of presenting a nomination and it getting voted on, that's part of our history. That's what you do. And many of those examples, one example is like 43 days before the last day in office. I think it was Justice Marshall, one of the most famous justices, was during election year, last year of that president, and was nominated. And so this claim of trying to delay and obstruct and say, we've got to let the next president decide this. That's just it's wrong. And I think the American people, the more attention that is focused on this issue of the nomination,
and they would view American people would view it as obstruction.
It's an obstruction. It's obstructing our judicial system, and what voters don't like. They understand politics gets played in Washington D.C. on Capitol Hill. They understand that there's a lot of delay and a lot of things that happen. But once you start injecting that sort of obstructionism into a fully operational system for political purposes only, before a nominee was even announced, you know, Justice Scalia's, as I understand it, his body probably hadn't even been moved from the ranch yet, and you had people in the Senate and McConnell and others saying that we're gonna not have this happen and we're gonna stop, and it's starting to push this as a political issue. It's wrong for America.
And very distasteful.
Very distasteful. I think it's wrong for America. It shows what's wrong with the political system right now in Washington D.C. when you're trying to stop and obstruct it.
Let me add that the Mitch McConnell's position on the Republican side is exactly what Chuck Schumer and Harry Reid did back in 2007. They actually announced in 2007, when George W. Bush was president, that under no circumstances should they ever approve a Bush nomination for Supreme Court. Chuck Schumer's, I've heard him say that. They've run that video numerous times.
And I believe the president still had 17 months.
He had 17 months, that's right. So Chuck Schumer was saying 17 months out, we're never going to approve a George Bush nomination. So that, you know, that's another thing. I think it's clear. To me, it's clear the president has the right to nominate. And I think it's very clear also the Senate has a right not to consent. And that's the way both teams have played it in the past, and I won't be surprised to see the president nominate, and I won't be surprised to see the Republicans refuse to consent.
And so the question is, though, it's one thing when you actually have a nominee. So I don't disagree with what John just said, and in fact, I disagreed with what Schumer and those said back whenever they tried to say that about not appointing a.
But they did say.
I agree. But if you want to talk about hypocrisy, let's go back to 1960. At that time, the Democrats were trying to essentially stop recess appointments, which also I disagree with that position. And the Republicans unanimously voted at that time in the Senate to say, we need to have a fully functioning U.S. Supreme Court.
Sure.
So you can always point to different examples of hypocrisy. The reality is we need to have someone nominated. It needs to have someone voted on and not try to inject politics before we even have a nominee.
Let's try to work in one call here. Rick has called us at 790-2040. Hey, Rick, how are you?
I'm doing well, gentlemen.
Good morning or afternoon.
Good afternoon. I think something very interesting here. Number one, the president's going to put somebody forward. Number two, that person being put forward, even if the Senate agrees to hear and go through the confirmation of review and process, what person, knowing the very divided Senate as it sits and the likelihood of being appointed, would allow himself or herself to go through that very arduous, stressful process, knowing that he or she probably doesn't have a prayer in the first place?
Well, okay. You know, Rick, it's prestigious just to be nominated.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I think this is Rick Grinnell talking.
It is Rick, I believe.
You know, both Vince and I, Rick, have run for political office, and you could say the same thing. How could you possibly run for political office knowing that all the skeletons in your closet are going to come out? I used to joke about that, and I know Vince did too because we talked about it. Neither one of us have any skeletons in the closet. Have at it, man. See what you can find. And so, you know, a person with character and with a good record isn't afraid of it at all. And it takes cojones to run for to serve in our republic.
Sure, and I agree with what John is saying, and let me answer Rick's question this way also. The reality is there are plenty of highly qualified justices candidates for justice that actually could get confirmed. Now, for example, if the president nominates Sri Srinivasan, who just got confirmed unanimously to the D.C. Circuit and who's viewed as a moderate and
Indian-American,
mm-hmm. You know, it really puts the senators in a bind because just over 2 years ago, all the GOP unanimously said, yes, this guy needs to be on one of the highest courts, and that's one of the more important courts on the circuit course of district,
yeah.
The D.C. So. Circuit. So I agree it is a brutal process, and if they decide to go forward, which they need to, these people have been through many similar processes, and it might be putting the Senate in a bind because you're going to have very qualified individual being nominated.
Don't forget, the likelihood is that a nominee will be somebody who's already serving in a judicial capacity and has already been confirmed by the Senate once.
And somebody had suggested on Facebook, Janet Napolitano, and I wondered if
not going to fly.
That's what I wanted to throw out there. So one of our Facebook friends wondered, what about Janet Napolitano, former Arizona governor?
I don't see that happening. I think he's going to stay away from somebody who's overly political with a former elected official perspective. He's going to go with someone who's on the bench.
All
I
right.
think so too.
Gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
John and Vince, always a pleasure. The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family owned and run since 1985. You can find Moe and his family doing such fine work at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com, and they have a very active Facebook page. We'll be right back with our... Okay, thanks.
Einstein once said, as the bees go, so do humans. Five-star professional pest control techs have another option rather than killing the bees. We can remove them. This bee removal option is safe, effective, and next time you have a swarm of bees enter your personal space, call us and let us remove these bees. We have professional technicians on call 7 days a week, 886-0045.
And we know what bugs you.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this federal holiday, President's Day, the day we honor all of our presidents, kind of sandwiched between the two real holiday, or the two real birthdays for Lincoln, February 12th, and George Washington, February 22nd. So we compromised and called it President's Day. Anyway, it's time for our monthly interview that we do with the Better Business Bureau. We call it our Arizona Business Journal, presented by the BBB of Tucson and Southern Arizona. And Ryan Foster is here. Mr. Foster is the communications manager with the Better Business Bureau. Ryan, good to see you.
Good to see you too.
Happy holiday to
you. Yes, thank you.
It is that time of year. Well, actually, the scammers like to say it's always a good time to scam somebody.
Right. They always want to take your money. So
one that we heard of that has popped up that's been going on at Pima Community College. I wonder if you could kind of enlighten our audience about what's going on over at PCC.
Yeah. So we received this scam via our scam tracker on our website, and someone reported that they were seeing some flyers going up around Pima Community College offering students the chance to work at home. So I investigated it a little bit, and I checked out the websites that it was sending people to, and it was like, it's saying, oh, all you have to do is like answer emails or whatever, easy stuff online, and they said they would pay you. But the problem was, whenever you click to the next page, it actually asks you for your credit card information.
Oh, boy, that's a huge red flag.
Oh, yeah. You should never have to give them your credit card information.
No. So you then posted a picture?
Yes, I put it up on our social media. I did a little alert on our website and made sure that people knew that that was not a legitimate thing.
Well, you know, I see occasionally around town these homemade signs, Ryan, that are like nailed to a telephone pole or something. And most recently I was driving, I think it was over on Columbus by somewhere in that area of Columbus and 22nd, there was a sign, college students wanted can make $1,000 to $12,000 a month, and just to call a number.
I sounds mean, like seemed, a good deal to me.
very suspicious, but yes. You know, yeah. But that one that you were just talking about, where they then on the asking you for credit card information.
Right. I mean, sometimes they will ask you for your bank account information so that they can direct deposit it to you or stuff like that. So you should never send money over to people that you don't know or to an unverified website like that.
Yeah, we're also, it's the tax time. People are getting their taxes in order. And so the IRS,
there are IRS scams. Not that the IRS is scamming you, right. But folks who want to portray themselves as being affiliated in some way with the Internal Revenue Service.
Right. Yeah. People, I mean, this time of year is a big deal. You're sending documents, you're filing your taxes, all this kind of stuff. So you might be vulnerable to this if someone calls you and says, hey, you actually owe all this money or we're going to throw you in jail. Sounds really scary, but the IRS tells us that they will never actually give you a phone call. They're going to send you correspondence through your mail, through an address that they have on file for you. And if you do ever wonder if you might owe something, just give them a call on their website that you know is their number.
So it could be someone saying they're with the IRS calling you up, but I guess that could also apply to receiving something in the mail or over on your email, too.
Right. Yeah. We actually, for the first time, saw emails being sent from someone claiming to be IRS, and they say, go to this website to verify all this information. But we ask people, don't ever click on a link from an unfamiliar source. Make sure to just use the sources you know are true. Go to their website or give them a call yourself.
What are some of the other scams that have been popping up in the last couple of weeks, Ryan?
Well, I actually did an interview with Matthew Schwartz over at KVOA. He asked me about this company that we actually have an F rating for. They're called lookupthen.com. This one was very interesting because it's for people who are posting like their vehicles on Craigslist for sale, and then someone will reach out to them and say, hey, I'm interested in your car, but can you go to this certain website called lookupthen.com to get the vehicle report? It's like Carfax, but it's $20 cheaper. So the problem with that is you're giving your credit card information over to a company you don't know, and then the people were getting back fraudulent vehicle reports. They weren't getting any other information other than the stuff they put in, like the VIN number and the car, make and model and stuff. So
you looked up the website address, mm-hmm. and it's a different kind of business. And did they have a phone?
There was a phone number, and whenever I gave it a call, it said doo-doo-doo.
Disconnected.
Yeah, and the address that they provided is actually something that is not what they said it was.
And again, this is lookupthen.com. Trying to capitalize on people who use a legitimate business like Carfax.
Right, yeah. I mean, and if you want to do that, use websites you know that work. Carfax is a wonderful, verified, reputable company.
And speaking of a wonderful source, the mm-hmm. BBB and your scam tracker, how does that work?
Well, we launched this last November. It's a great place to look if you feel like maybe there's a scam that someone has contacted you about. You can search keywords on it. It's at our website, tucson.bbb.org. You can also report scams as well. There's a big button at the top that shows you, and then you can just go through and fill out the information.
You have your Torch Awards, the preparation well underway. How is that going?
Oh, we're getting very excited about this. Our finalists have been named, and we're getting all that information together. And we're also very excited to announce that Martha McSally has agreed to be our keynote speaker at the awards dinner on May 5th. So if you guys have any other questions about that, it's all on our website at www.bbb.org/Tucson.
And you do mixers as well, right? Kind of a monthly mixer?
Yeah. Actually, we are hosting one at Trident Grill 2. Mm-hmm. It's brand new. It's going to be at Plaza Palomino on February 25th at 5:30. And we're actually in partnership with ASBA, and it's sponsored by Janelle Frank of Affleck. So we're very excited for that.
And again, go to the website?
Yep, website, tucson.bbb.org.
And for a business that has thought about joining BBB, what is the, again, go to the website or is there some, should they call you guys up or what?
You can do either one. Okay. On the website, there's a button at the top where you can fill out the information and we'll get back to you, or you can call a number, 520-888-5353.
And again, it's bbb.org/Tucson.
Yes.
Ryan, thank you very much. Ryan Foster with us from the Better Business Bureau. We'll look forward to your visit next month. Thank you.
All right.
You.
Thanks for having me.
Ryan Foster is the communications manager with the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. The BBB is a resource you can turn to for objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. They do a great job, and we thank Ryan for coming in. The Buckmaster Show, right at exactly 12:43 on this Monday afternoon. We'll be right back.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions work together to deliver regional transportation improvements that are funded by the RTA's 20-year plan. So far, more than 700 transportation improvements have been completed, like enhanced transit services, new bike lanes and sidewalks, expanded roadways, and new traffic signal technologies. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Tuesday at noon, we'll speak with Governor Doug Ducey, also Bruce Wheeler, who is the State of Arizona Assistant House Minority Leader, plus the Arizona State Historian. It's a full show on Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice, with live streaming podcasts and our show archive on my website, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, where we welcome another new sponsor to the fold, Green Things Nursery, your place for all things green. They do such a great job over there. Of course, it's the spring planting season. Check out Green Things Nursery. They have really now expanded to 13 acres. They've got 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, gardening supplies. I've been going there for years. If you can't find it there, it's not available in Tucson, most likely. 3384 East River Road, which is just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Check out their website, greenthingsaz.com.
Green Things, thank you for your support of the Buckmaster Show. And thank you to Dr. Mark Sykes, CEO and director of the Planetary Science Institute, celebrating its 44th year. And Mark, the reason I know that is because it coincides with my 44th wedding anniversary on May 5th. And as I recall, your anniversary is somewhere in the spring. So that it all. So that's how I'm okay with that number. And Mark Sykes joining us now. And Mark, it's always a pleasure to have you on board with us. And this news about the revolutionary discovery that scientists find gravitational waves that Einstein predicted. Is this much ado about, well, I don't want to say nothing, much ado about nothing, but some of the hype around this has really been astounding. Some are saying it will revolutionize your business, the astronomy business. Is it a big deal?
You know, it actually is a big deal, Bill. Gravity waves have never been detected before. You know, they've been hypothesized, you know, like you said, by Einstein 100 years ago. And there's, you know, all kinds of theories involving one model or another of how they might manifest themselves. And so now we see, and there's some evidence that gravity waves were involved in things that we're seeing, because under Einstein's theory, when a mass accelerates, you know, so it could be spinning around in the star, something like that, that it gives off, you know, gravity waves. And so we've seen like a pulsar system where it was slowing down. It's like, well, where's that energy going? Well, it's hypothesized going off in gravity waves. But in terms of detecting it, a system was set up on the Earth, the LIGO system, where it's like the two giant interferometers where the arms are like kilometers long, and if a gravity wave comes through strong enough, then it actually changes the distance between one of the arms and the others, and so the light that's bouncing back and forth interferes in a special way that indicates, whoa, the something's happened to space time, mm-hmm. between these two points. And but the thing is that the effect of gravity waves is pretty small, and so it took a pretty big event. In this case, it was two black holes spiraling into each other. One was 26 times the mass of the sun. The other one 39 times the mass of the sun. And these things, you know, collide and absorb and then ramp down, and they emitted as much energy as three times the mass of the sun in a burst of gravitational wave. And when that made it to the Earth, now it's far away, okay? Mm-hmm. So it's like over a billion light years away. And by the time it gets to the Earth, you know, the signal's far down. But it was measurable. It measured a change in the spacing of these arms of these detectors by about a thousandth the diameter of a proton.
Oh, my
so
goodness.
Very, very tiny. So it takes a very big event out there to result in something detectable, but it was a clear signal, and so it's so now, you know, we have the opportunity. We know that it's detectable, and now more the system can be expanded, and you know, more of these things would hopefully be observed, and then that will further test our understanding of this very exotic area of physics.
Well, isn't it interesting, ironic, that Einstein's celebrated general theory of relativity was in 1916? So it's mm-hmm. kind of like 100 years ago that he had this prediction that the fabric of the universe is perturbed yeah. by gravitational energy.
Yeah, Einstein
was a pretty smart guy.
He didn't believe in black holes. Yeah, you know, so he was wrong there, but
he
amazing.
Must have been a fairly young man if that happened, like in 1916.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, but so why was this? I guess it took this long. We just obviously didn't have the technology to verify it in 1916.
Right. A lot of technology where we've measured some of this, the relativistic things that he's talked about has taken a revolution in technology in particle accelerators and things like that in order to test and then prove him right on those scores as well.
So how does this then revolutionize your industry?
Well, it's like being able to see it at a different wavelength, you know, of light. You know, we're seeing a new family of phenomena out there that had only been hypothesized but had never been detected before. So this opens up a new dimension of understanding of how the universe works. It doesn't change, like, our understanding of the sun or understanding of galaxies, how things, you know, work.
So it's kind of a whole new window of the universe.
Yes. And could tell us a lot about the you know, the first moments after the Big Bang.
Interesting story also caught my eye about planet Earth is actually two planets. How could that be?
Well, this is an old theory that was came out of PSI.
And I think Bill Hartman.
Bill Hartman and Don Davis in 1975.
Who is going to be our guest on the show a week from today, because there's a new University of Arizona Press book about the early days of the LPL.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Yes, I'm an LPL grad.
Yep. The Lunar Planetary
Laboratory at the University of Arizona.
So there's a new book about it, and Bill's on the cover of the book. So. Yeah, he's on the cover as a very young guy.
Okay.
A young Bill Hartman. You know, but when I saw this, and this particular story doesn't mention anything about Bill, but then I thought, this seems really, where have I heard this before?
Right, and they referenced Bill and Don's paper. Yes,
they did. Okay.
Because they came up back in 1975 with the modern theory of the origin of the moon, which was a Mars-sized planet that some people called Theia, smashed into the Earth, and that the debris from that formed a ring around the Earth and coalesced into the moon. And so now it gets down to the details. And so when that impact occurred, was it a glancing blow? Was it a full-on impact? I think in the most hypotheses, the core of the Mars-sized object fell into the Earth and coalesced with our core, and then the mantle material, along with some fraction of the Earth mantle material, ended up forming the ring that formed both objects. Now, what this paper shows is that one of the ways we tell kind of where things come from is by their oxygen isotopes, because it has something to do with how things fractionated in the early solar system, or you know, how material developed then. And so oxygen isotopes from asteroids is different than Mars is different from the Earth, and are distinguishable from the Earth. But when you do the study of the lunar samples brought back by the Apollo astronauts and Earth, they're indistinguishable. And so what does that say about this big impact? So what these folks are saying was that the impact must have been sufficiently energetic that the material both on the outside of the Earth and that formed the moon must have been really thoroughly mixed so that there's really no distinguishing any differences between the two. Of course, alternatively, Theia could have formed likely formed very nearby where Earth formed, and so it could have had nearly identical isotopic abundances to begin with.
So this reinforces a lot of what Dr. Hartman had been saying, doesn't it?
It's certainly interpreted in that context, mm-hmm. and so it's just trying to push our understanding of what happened 800 million years after the beginning of formation of the solar system, when our moon formed. You know, it gives us a little more insight into what we have to. You know, when we come up with models of things, mm-hmm. Then we get predictions out of those models, and we test those predictions against observations. So here's an observation. Isotopic abundances are the same as the Earth and the Moon. So you can't have a theory now that would predict that they're going to be really different. You know, so some people had thought previously that the Moon was made out of the mantle of Theia, and then you have the Earth's mm-hmm. material. So if there's any difference between those two materials, mm-hmm. then you should detect it. We see no difference, and therefore either Theia can't be have been different from the Earth in terms of its composition, or the impact must have been such that it really mixed the mantle materials of both planets together very thoroughly.
Very interesting stuff, Dr. Mark Sykes, Planetary Science Institute. I strongly recommend people go to psi.edu for more information. Mark, good to see you. Thank
you.
Great
to see you, Bill.
All right. This portion of Buckmaster brought to you by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. If you're looking for a great road trip, it's only 3 hours east of Tucson. It's a beautiful part of the southwestern United States, southwest New Mexico, with a lot to do. If you haven't seen the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument, do so. It is great up there. Lots of nice places to stay, like Bear Mountain Lodge. The full listing of places to stay and the many things to do are, as they say, to recreate by going to their website, southwestnewmexico.org. Thanks to Silver City. We have great sponsors on this program. Love them all. Coming up this afternoon, 4 Tucson at 4, from 4 to 5 with Mike Shaw. Ray Allen, you'll be back producing that show on the other side of the glass as well. Tomorrow morning, we do 4 hours of local talk beginning at 6 going till 10, including Wake Up Tucson, The Daily Double, and then Sean McCluskey's show from 9 to 10. Me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you with the governor tomorrow, right at 12:04. We'll hear from Governor Ducey on this very radio program. Until then, I'm Bill Buckmaster on behalf of Ray Allen. Have a great afternoon.